Lisa Unger is the New York Times bestselling author of 16 novels. Her latest, Under My Skin, starts with a simple yet startling premise. What if the nightmares are actually memories? It's been a year since Poppy's husband, Jack, was brutally murdered during his morning run through Manhattan's Riverside Park. In the immediate aftermath, Poppy spiraled into an oblivion of grief, disappearing for several days, only to turn up ragged and confused, wearing a red dress she didn't recognize. What happened to Poppy during those days? And more importantly, what happened to Jack? Again, the name of the novel is Under My Skin, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Lisa Unger to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
It's a great pleasure to have you on the program. So what brought you to this particular scenario?
Well, there's always like a germ, or maybe sometimes there's a couple of things, but in this case there were a couple of things, but the main thing was a sort of Jungian thought, which was between the dreams of day and night, there is not so great a difference. So it kind of sounds like a very simple idea. But if you really think about it and start to dissect the layers, which is what I tend to do when things start to obsess me, it has a lot of hidden meaning. And so I really started to think about it, the dreams, you know, between the dreams of day and night, and what did he mean by that? So it got me sort of digging into sleeping and dreaming. Like, so usually there's a germ, and then there's like an obsession that leads me to doing a lot of research or reading on a topic. And I came to learn that in our lifetimes, we spend more than 229,000 hours asleep. So that's more than a third of our lives, sleeping and dreaming, more time than we spend doing anything else. And yet we're more, you know, we're convinced that, you know, the time that we're awake is more real than the time that we're asleep. And so it got me thinking about other questions, you know, things that have obsessed me in other novels, like addiction and sleep deprivation and grief and trauma, and how these things start to affect our perception of reality. And that was really the germ for Under My Skin.
One of the things that got me thinking in this book is just this idea that you can dream something or believe that you're dreaming it, and then if you remember it when you wake, you are shocked that your brain was capable of thinking of something so dark and twisted.
Yeah, or even if you have, I don't know if you've ever had dreams that don't include you. Have you ever had those dreams?
Yeah, where you're just sort of observing.
Who are these people?
Right. Yeah, where did I fit in? How did I get to that party? Right.
And as a fiction writer, that's a particularly interesting question, because I feel like a lot of my process is sort of akin to dreaming. And then, you know, because how I write, you know, is so, I in some ways feel so deeply subconscious to me. A lot of times I don't even really have access to how I'm doing it. So I'll run into these kind of brick walls in the narrative and like do whatever I need to do to jog it loose, like, you know, exercise or whatever. But oftentimes it's like when I go to sleep at night, you know, I have these 3 a.m. wake ups where I'm like, oh, that's it. Right. Like that's, you know, what comes next. So for me, like dreaming is a big part of my process. So it was kind of a natural place for me to explore in my fiction.
I mean, that goes back to the old adage of, oh, I'll sleep on it.
Right. Exactly. Right. Because that's where your brain works out. You know, it's like where it's where your brain reorganizes itself. I mean, you see it in infants. And your children, as they're growing up, like they go through these phases where all of a sudden their sleep is interrupted all the time. And then after that, there's some big cognitive leap usually, right? So it's during sleep that's, you know, the brain just kind of reorganizes itself. And Jung felt that, you know, it's a doorway to the unconscious, to the collective unconscious. And he sort of used dreams to further his patient's therapy. So, you know, clearly, that life has a big meaning to our waking life as well.
So where does that bring us when it comes to a reliable versus unreliable narrator, or in this case, narrative?
Well, I mean, is anybody a reliable narrator, I wonder? You know,
certainly not in my life, no. But
you know, I think we're all sort of unreliable narrators in a way, because you know, perception and memory is so slippery. You know, even in forensic analysis and crime, you know, like the idea of sort of the eyewitness as being like this irrefutable testimony In fact, you know, the eyewitness can sometimes be the least reliable piece of evidence because we see the world through our filters. You know, we see the world oftentimes through a mental model as if, you know, it's what we want it to be rather than what it truly is. So, you know, in my mind, I feel like all of our, you know, all narrators are in some sense of the word unreliable. But Poppy is, you know, she's extremely unreliable because she's in such a fragile space. And we all know that when our sleep is interrupted or, you know, when the brain experiences trauma, reality takes on a different cast. So she's in a very delicate mental space. So it's always like sort of, you know, as a reader and even as the writer, trying to piece together her reality or her various different layers of reality to get to the truth, was that's the heart of the narrative. That's what drove me through the narrative.
So tell us a little bit about Poppy and this character and how you set her up before you put her into this situation.
Yeah, for me, all plot flows from character. So, you know, as I mentioned, there's a germ and then there's like sort of this swath of research that happens usually. And the best way I can describe it is if it connects with something deeper going on with me or questions that I have about people, which, you know, I think that may be the underwriting theme of all of my books, of like, you know, what makes us who we are, then I'm going to start to hear a voice or voices. Sometimes there's multiple voices in my narrative. And I follow that voice through the story. And that was definitely the case for Poppy. So when I first, you know, and I really have a long time ago stopped thinking about characters as people that I create, and have started thinking of them as people that I meet, because even though that's not the whole truth of it, that's definitely sort of my experience. So when I met her, I felt like, you know, here's this woman who's, you know, experienced this tremendous loss. You know, she's in this place of deep sort of trauma, and she's kind of like white knuckling her way toward what she keeps referring to as a new normal. And yet, you know, there are these big pieces of her life that she can't face, that she doesn't want to face, that are, you know, that are black spots in her memory. So my question for her was, how do you move forward if you can't face these dark spaces within you? And so that was really, you know, all I knew about her when I started to write, and the rest of it was just following her through the story.
And you want us asking questions all the time, don't you?
I do, because you know what? There are way more questions than there are answers about people, about the human brain, about the psyche, about the world. So yeah, I do. I want to be asking questions all the time, and I want you to be asking questions all the time.
Oh, but Lisa, we want to trust something, don't we?
We do. We do. So you can trust your heart. How about that?
That sounds good. I like that idea. When you come to the ending, and I know this is a very cliched talk show question, but I apologize because I usually try to avoid those. But when it comes to the ending, I mean, in this particular case, and it's just because of the situation that you set up, did you have a clear, defined ending?
I didn't, and I never do. I mean, in a lot of ways, I write for the same reason that I read, you know, because I want to know what's going to happen to the people living in my head. And so I didn't have a clear ending for the story, and I never do. And I feel like if I did, I might not be able to write the novel.
The new novel is Under My Skin. It is published by Park Row Books. Lisa Unger, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Again, Under My Skin by Lisa Unger is published by Park Row Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.